From Bradley University, this is Outside the Horseshoe. I'm Tanya Coombs. The Heart of Illinois United Way and Advanced Medical Transport have a new comprehensive information service within the N11 calling system. The 211 information line's goal is to connect callers with critical health and human care programs throughout a six-county region. The footprint mirrors the HOI United Way service area. That includes Peoria, Tazewell, Woodford, Marshall, Stark, and Putnam counties. Michael Steffen is the Executive Director of the Heart of Illinois United Way, and Andrew Rand is the Executive Director of Advanced Medical Transport. They are our guest for this Outside the Horseshoe and allowed us to record the show at the nearly month-old 211 Calling Center. Gentlemen, thank you for joining me on Outside the Horseshoe.
Hi.
Thanks for having me.
Good morning.
So, occasionally we take the show on the road, and this is a day that we're doing that. We are at Advanced Medical Transport, where the 911 call center rests. It is quite an interesting thing to get to see. But today, we're going in to see the addition of the
211. Absolutely.
So, shall we go in?
Sure. So, what we're doing is we're getting ready to go through a door that's part of our stormproof call center. Inside the call center, we've laid on top of the people and technology in there the information services for 211. So, this is an F5 tornado-proof shelter we're going into. So, this center is divided into sort of two workflows. In that room, they actually control the dispatch of our emergency fleets, but on this side, we process information to create a result on top of the general call taking for AMT's multi-state business. We have some specialists dedicated to 211 information and referral. So we have a new young man we've hired here, Grant Allen, and the guy that helped build the backbone of this information platform here, Cody Halstead, today. Hi, fellas.
How are you doing?
Where are you?
It looks like you're doing some training.
I was just recently hired, and I'm very excited about the 211 service. And so Cody has been taking me through the system and kind of giving me all the basics, and I'll be starting on Friday taking calls myself.
That's kind of a big job. A lot rests on your shoulders, yes?
Yeah, it's definitely a big responsibility, but I'm confident that, you know, I'll have the training, and the system's very easy to use, so I'm confident that we'll be able to get the people linked up to whatever sorts of services they need.
And Cody has been instrumental in helping us develop a database with all the different agencies, programs, and services that people can access for help.
Cody, putting all that information together and being able to link it all is significant. Talk about that a little bit.
Yes, it is. There's it's a very comprehensive database. There's multiple agencies in the area, but there's not multiple agencies that offer a large array of services for that. And being able to pull data from here will help to distribute information to the people of the community, basically. We get calls daily just from people in need in the community, and it's good to see that a database like this is strong enough to help all those people get the information that they need.
You probably don't have numbers closed maybe on your first 30 days yet, but can we talk about roughly how many calls you're averaging on a daily basis now?
Since we've kicked off, we have over 400 calls that we've taken in here. Daily basis, I want to say in the range of 18 to 21 per day. Most of those calls are coming through the workday hours as opposed to overnight, and we are open for calls 24/7. So, but majority of them come, we like to say, in the morning from probably 10 to maybe 3 in the afternoon.
Cody, if they wanted to access our website, which provides user-based access, what's that web address?
To get to our website, it's just 211hoi.org. And there's an Add Your Agency button on there for all the agencies in the area that have looked through the database and seen that they are not in there. They want to change or update information. They can go in, create an account for their agency, and do it all online.
So if you are part of an organization, a nonprofit group that provides services in the greater Six County region, it's worth it for you to jump on the website, take a look, make sure you're listed there, and if you're not,
get connected.
Right. This is supported by the Heart of Illinois United Way, but it's more than just our partner agencies. Again, we want to list every health and human care agency that can provide these vital programs and services in the six-county area.
Sure. How do you measure when this is successful, if it is successful?
I think that's going to be a really great policy question for the United Way board. Certainly what we'll be able to do is provide them data on the top 10 issues that have come to light by zip code, really, in the six-county area, so that they could focus on funding initiatives or priorities to help those organizations perhaps excel. And I think where we understand that gaps might be in service availability for people in need, I hope our data is able to contain that information and we'll translate it to the Heart of Illinois United Way. It's very, very early on, but I think the service requests we're seeing follow the national fingerprint on it, which is housing. Housing assistance is the number one. And then it starts to get into things like electrical utility costs, and the third one is food. So, you know, if you look at the national 211 database of requests, and it's mirroring the national issues.
Yeah, the Heart of Illinois United Way, we want to, of course, address the critical health and human care needs of the community. Every 3 years, Bradley University does an extensive community assessment for us to help identify those needs. But all the demographic information that AMT will be able to provide us will be, again, an addendum to that information to ensure that, okay, if we're receiving a lot of calls, let's say, for shelter or food, we maybe need to invest more money in those particular areas.
And I think as a caveat, an important caveat, and Cody can tell it to you, Michael can tell it to you, all the information here is confidential. So if you're calling for help or you're calling for someone else who needs help, that's all shielded. There's no names. No names. It's all confidential.
To that end, I was kind of surprised when I got here. I didn't know for sure that we were going to be able to come in here for that exact reason. And thanks to you and the people who make the call center go for allowing us to be inside.
You're welcome. We're glad to have you.
And to have that, again, that access, whether it be on the website or calling 211, because some people may not be comfortable calling and talking about their issues. So having that website with all the available data and programs and services available in the community, I think is essential to help others.
Yeah. There is really nothing more personal than your home, how you pay your bills, and the groceries you purchase and bring home to feed yourself and your family. And if those are the top three calls on average, the things that go on in this room when people call and reach out for help are significant to them.
I dare say anybody I know has never had a problem that they didn't need help. So I've yet to meet that person. And life is what it is, and whether you're young or not so young, the idea that we've always made it to this point without help is fodder. And I think that the Heart of Illinois United Way's Board of Directors understands the larger mission now of leveraging this information and referral access point into making their campaigns even more successful, because it's a very tangible connection from money the United Way raises to fund member agencies, connecting that to a front end that coordinates access and opportunity for people in need through their whole enterprise. This is a great, great step forward for them. And I think they're going to be really, really successful in campaigning now, because they already break records for the size community we're in, but there's records yet to be broken because of this new utility they've decided to pay for.
I'm not familiar with any 211 service provided in the country where the United Way or another nonprofit partnered with another organization like AMT to provide this kind of comprehensive service. And it just made sense. And Andrew and his team at AMT really stepped up on the idea and said, hey, we can provide this service efficiently. And frankly, we're providing a great product.
So most call centers, most 211 call centers are rested or nested within the N11 service in their region.
Well, it's either provided directly from a United Way that, again, houses this the database and houses the employees that take those 211 calls, or another nonprofit that does that. Again, for us, it just made sense. This was Andrew and his team at AMT. This is what they do for a living, obviously handling the 911 calls. So it just made a lot of sense to partner with them to provide this service as well.
Michael, it's your board that will be governing, essentially, taking a look at mining the data for what's taking place. Your board is probably one of the more diverse and probably best suited volunteer board. It's a special group of people.
Yeah, very strong board of directors. We also have incredible volunteers serving on different committees. And we have over 100 volunteers that participate in the fund distribution process that, again, look at the outcomes. They look at the efficiencies and really have to make some tough decisions on which programs we're going to support in the community.
Who's going to look at the data and how decisions are going to be made in that process?
Absolutely. We have what we call the Solution Council, which are chairs and the vice chairs of each of our four fund distribution committees that will review the data on a monthly basis. And that information then will be presented to the board of directors.
What does something like this cost?
AMT and the United Way are sharing the cost to provide this service. Again, if the United Way wanted to provide this on our own, where we would have to hire X number of people to cover the phones 24/7, then plus the software, plus the, you know, the space, et cetera, it would be an astronomical cost to the United Way. That's why it just made sense to partner with AMT and Andrew and his team, and we're sharing the costs and providing a much better product.
How many people does it take to man a 211 call center 24/7?
That's, I think, what makes the alignment really good in terms of cost for United Way, is they're really only absorbing 60% of the human capital that we've invested here. So, you know, this room has to be answered 24/7, right? And then the other room where the emergency calls run through, it's answered 24/7. Overflow here goes to that room in terms of busy. So there's 12 FTEs attached to this center on this side, which they share in a wealthy resource there for just a fraction of what the actual cost is.
One of the things that the press release talked about was the cross-trained nature of the people in the 911 center.
Sure.
And the 211 center. And Andrew, you just spoke to the idea that those the calls roll over. Wow, we are in a whole different pod now.
Yeah, and if you'll follow me over here, this group here is so pre-programmed to handle people's worst moments. And I think that there are some expected overlaps between somebody's call to 211, any one of the communities, and it actually being an emergent matter that we would want to either provide the service ourselves or, based on where we know the call is coming from, notify a local authority to help someone. So the two sides of this center here, they're really trying to manage most of the 211 events there, but should something peak out, like, you know, there's a big car crash or a river event,
or
the projects that we studied and have adapted some best practices from, as well as the accredited rule set from the National 211 Accrediting Body, that we really found to be potentially a super high utility are during natural disasters. So communities in the United States that have really leveraged the 211 concept are leveraging in the event of a prolonged natural disaster, such as a tornado or a major flood, to contact this number for resources about housing, food, shelter. And so the day-to-day management of rather routine events in your community, which are not so routine if you're the caller, if you have a prolonged event that impacts several square miles of your community, the 211 now sits with incident command centers in emergency management of those kinds of events. So, you know, you're talking about collaborating with an entity like AMT. We already have a seat in those command centers as the medical services provider, and it's just a natural cross over of duties, I think, between even the people that mostly take calls in that room and the people here that assign resources, they can take calls too.
When people call in 211, the people on the other end of the phone have to know a lot about what goes on in all six counties that the number covers, right?
That's why they have an extensive database with all this information in it, and they keep it up to date. That's a key thing. They have, you know, Cody, who you met earlier, you know, one of his primary roles here is to ensure that that database is current and up to date and is accurate. Because obviously some of the, let's say the food banks, for instance, it may change daily whether or not they have food available. And the last thing you want to do is send somebody for a service or program or some help that can't be provided. So that's why it's essential that we keep that information updated.
And I think all the properties of water apply here too. You know, it follows the path of least resistance. We need to actively discuss with community organizations what resources they have. The passive way would be to send a survey and say, please tell us about your wonderful organization so that we can include you in our database. The way it really works is we have to actively call or visit those organizations, explain our purpose, explain how we can leverage their organization's results in the community, and then get them listed. And I think what we're beginning to find, when you get outside of typical not-for-profits, you have a whole bunch of government agencies that need to be listed. And then you have large, major healthcare providers, such as a medical center, that have a host of resources inside them, but wouldn't be the first tier somebody might think of. So, for example, autism counseling. How might we find that resource for somebody in the community? Well, certainly everybody knows the primary provider of that in our community is Easter Seals. And in the context of how we get them listed, did we get them listed through OSF? Did we get them listed through Easter Seals or another parent-rearing organization in town that's part of their master plan? And finding all of those things is an active process. We just can't do it passively, and that is Cody's job.
So Cody is the one who's went after all the different...
Yeah.
Well, he was hired how long ago, Andrew?
6 months ago.
6 months ago to build up that database.
He's been hard at work.
He's a super nice young man, and I tell you, he's turned out to be a terrific player. I don't know what we're going to challenge him with next, but the first thing we had to do is identify the right software utility to do this with, and there are several products in the market, but ServicePoint is probably the most effective one, and it's super data sophisticated, so which has pluses and minuses to it. But Cody adapted to that technology quickly, and he's just the right kind of guy to make the calls in the community and get the database built. But he has a partner at AMT, Chanel Anglin, who's our program lead on this thing, and I think she spent an awful lot of time trying to develop this taxonomy of human needs, which is this official if-then-else decision tree on how you sort from a zip code to a care provider for someone based on the time of day, how we meet those needs. Because you can over-categorize and overbuild them, or you can under-categorize and miss the opportunity to refine service access.
How do you make the balance?
Well, there's actually, I think it's the University of California, Los Angeles, that has this taxonomy of human needs, this nomenclature of human needs that is so deep and so thick, but it's studied very scientifically on how to map from this question to this particular service need in a telephone triage procedure, okay? Because it's about asking the right questions once you get the first couple of pieces of information. Where are you? Why are you calling?
From 6 months ago, roughly, till today, and you've been online more than 30 days, less than 45 days. A lot has happened here to make it go.
I just want to tell you that the commitment of our company to the Heart of Illinois United Way goes back many, many years. We're a six-figure contributor. Our employees participate in the high 90s. We have year in and year out. I think that makes us a gold company. The leadership our workforce demonstrates in that effort, I would say, is worthy of some of the best contributing companies in town based on what they get paid and what they contribute. And then our corporate contribution, of course, helps leverage those results. But, you know, you got to sort of walk the talk and organizationally adapting things like a health and human care access point for the community is something that the bulk of the workforce here sees every day, that need in real life. So operations is 80% of our employees. 9% are in this room talking to folks over the phone about their particular needs. And they see it. They see it for real. So because we walk the talk in reality here as pre-hospital professionals, raising internal funds for this campaign is a very easy thing to do. And then layering that kind of service over the top of what's going on, it's a trifecta.
And that's another reason why, again, it was such a natural partnership. Not only can they provide the best product out there to ensure that people are helped when they need help in the community, but also, again, Andrew and his team have been so generous and so supportive, not only monetarily, but also providing volunteer leadership to our organization. So, again, it was just a natural fit.
We talked about the cross-training nature and where the 211 operators sit and how they can share back and forth. Do you know how often it is statistically that the caller's pain threshold may be great enough that they're not able to distinguish what is a critical care or human services moment and what is a 911 emergency moment?
Boy, that's a well-placed question. And as soon as I find an answer to that, I will tell you. Because basically, we will have an annotation in the records that say we dispatched the police or we notified the Lake and Sparlin Police Department, you know, to go out. But again, you know, the confidential nature of this is most importantly, and in those things where there's some extraordinary measure required, I think we'll still always do the right thing. But I don't have that data.
But that is quite the value, I imagine, of the call centers setting together.
Absolutely.
And then we're connected to police and fire and many communities in Central Illinois already electronically in lots of ways, but in you know, our systems here are pretty sophisticated because we actually can see where we are and where we're going.
Yeah, let's talk about what we're seeing, because people can't see the fact that there are 12 screens on the wall up to our left or right, however you're justified.
Just two cameras, and that data center in there is all secure in this tornado-proof structure too. So this is a really neat place to have a facility like this, because in the event that weather created the need for services in the community, we're sheltered and protected here.
Hence the caution sign on the door.
Exactly. Michael's always welcome.
Most of the time.
What haven't I asked the two of you about that you think it is important for the people of the greater Peoria region to know?
I think the question Michael should ask is, why did they do this? Okay. Why did they do this? Because it is novel and brand new.
Yeah, because Springfield has a 211 call center. Other communities have a 211 call center, but this is different.
Absolutely. The call center that Springfield, I believe Champaign, Rockford, and Bloomington, it's all one. They use one call center. It's called PATH out of Bloomington. It's a volunteer-driven organization. We could have worked with those organizations and be part of that, but we felt that this would be a much better product for the community, having it here local, having it calls being answered by professionals, and to ensure that, again, when somebody calls, that they get the help that they need. We also know that they are keeping the data updated, put a website together that contains all this information, but it was just, we felt that partnering with AMT, we could provide the best product for the community.
Michael Steffen, Andrew Rand, thank you both for taking the time to be on Outside the Horseshoe today.
Our pleasure.
Our pleasure. A lot of fun.
I'm Tanya Kuntz. Thanks for listening.